This is CliffCentral.com. On radio. More of the good stuff. CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to the good stuff, Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brent Lindy Q, the good things guy. Right next to me is Kerry Stein.
We're going to go through this every single week.
I just mock your surname because I'm terrible. I'm terrible with names, terrible with surnames, terrible with all the rest of the stuff. You're in studio. It's Tuesday. You're hanging out with us, and I am excited to be here. This is Cliff Central's very own happy hour. We only bring you good news, good things, good stories. And today we're going to be catching up on a little bit of my MKRSA journey. As every week, you guys ask questions, so we'll be answering some of that. I mean, before we even get into that, never make pizza on a bra, full stop. All I'm saying. Not the best idea. Not the best advert. Then we're going to be chatting a little bit about my Abu Dhabi trip. Just got back from Abu Dhabi. Really rad. That was cool. The Cape Town Food Project. I was in Cape Town yesterday making pap for little kids.
I know. I want to know more about that as well.
We'll get into that. I cried a lot.
Me too.
It was a tough one. And well, the mayor's sold his house.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be building houses for the needy. We'll bring you the top five good news stories, as well as Huddle Up. The girls are going to be joining us later. They come in once a month to sort of chat about stuff. But because I took a production break, we've missed a lot. So we've got a lot to catch up on, I'm sure. Also, Lauren Siegel, author of Cancer, A Love Story, will be coming to chat about her story. She's actually just walked into the production studio, just in time. Don't worry, no rush, take it easy, take a breather, have a cup of coffee, we'll call you in a little bit. Plus, Colleen from the Breast Health Foundation is coming in. She's been here before.
Yes.
But we're going to be chatting to her today, just a little bit about what they're up to, because all of these things are very, very important.
It's boob month.
Is it?
Yes.
I didn't even know that. Thank goodness we brought them in. Well done to the producer for booking it. Well done. You can tweet us on cliffcentral.com, Brent Lindy Q, or any of the esteemed guests' handles. They're going to throw them out there. You can also send us a message via our official WeChat account. Or you can call us 0861-555-189. Kerry, they can also WhatsApp. What's the number?
079-748-2090.
She knows that off by heart. Mm-hmm. I'm well impressed. Mm-hmm. Well impressed. Right, so let's have a bit of a chat-ski. What's happening? I haven't seen you in a week. I did the show from Abu Dhabi. Patched in last week.
Brent, I actually cannot believe what's happened in the space of a week.
Really?
I'm so excited. But I can't tell you much. Okay, but there's a lot happening. I'm very, very excited, and it's basically taken 2 years. So, yes, obviously, it's all good things.
Is this about what you told me right before we went on air?
No.
I'm just checking. Have you been working on – I don't want to say anything. I'm not going to say anything. But Kerry got invited to do something that's just a little bit different, and she told me before air, and I thought she'd been working on it for 2 years.
No. These are projects that we've been working on for 2 years, and they're just kind of – they're happening now, and it's very, very exciting. I can't say much right now because it's still
under wraps.
Sensitive.
It's under wraps.
But it's happening. And then obviously the Christmas party stuff, that's all happening. And
how's that going? Because the last time we
overwhelming.
Chatted.
Overwhelming.
There was a lot of people that were getting involved and helping you and doing
overwhelming.
Things.
Overwhelming. It's overwhelming. And I can't believe how the weeks are flying, but I'm very, very excited. This year's going to be, it's going to be big.
It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, how exciting.
I'm super, super excited.
Okay, just to recap, for those that don't know, tell them about the Christmas party.
So it will be on the 2nd of December. It's in Dipslut. We're going to have a Christmas party for 400 underprivileged children. They are actually orphans within Dipslut. So the one school, Dipslut Primary, has given us access to use their premises because most of the children go to that school. And we're going to be having a massive Christmas party for them. We're going to have lots of fun. We're giving them gifts that are, what's the word? They are practical.
Yeah, well, that makes sense, right?
So what we have found is December, we usually throw them a Christmas party. It's all fun and games. And then January rolls around and the parents stress a little bit because now it's school. So we've basically combined the two and we'll be giving them toys, stationery, school bags, lunch. And so the parents, their parents can sort of wind down properly in December.
Yeah, here's the thing. I said I was going to talk about this and bring it up. I went to Cape Town yesterday. And I got to assist a feeding program at a school, at an underprivileged school. School's got 500 odd children. Odd is the number. They have 500 roundabout children that go to the school. And a lot of them are incredibly underprivileged.
Yeah.
Sure. I tweeted yesterday and I sort of put it up on social media to raise awareness about it. But the thing is perspective is huge. And to understand perspective when it comes to privilege and haves and have-nots and the reality of our country and the reality of what we call our home, it's hard. It's tough. So I got invited to go and assist in this feeding program. They feed these little heroes, these little kids. They feed them every day.
I call them tiny humans.
The little tiny humans. Yeah. They feed them every day. Some of these kids wake up at like 4 o'clock in the morning to get to school. 4 o'clock in the morning. And they make their way to the school. The school was near Vredehoek in Cape Town, which is sort of center of town. But yeah. Some of these kids are coming from Khayelitsha. They're coming from the Hout Bay side.
Really?
It's
That's
far.
That's
far. So they get to school. And the kids get involved in the prepping process. So they've got different jobs and they start at like 6 o'clock in the morning and off they go down to the storeroom to pick up the crates that have got the different bowls in them and the cups and like everything is set up, right? They then go into the one makeshift classroom, which they've turned into almost a production line. And the kids sit and make porridge. This porridge that they make is apparently just phenomenal. It's called EPUP.
I know. I wanted to find out more about it as well.
Yeah. So EPUP is, it was developed by a doctor, scientist, person who cares in South Africa. And it's got all the nutrients inside of it that a little one would need to just stay healthy and fit and full. And then they, once all the pup is made, it's distributed to all the different classrooms. And it, the kids are doing all of it, eh? They're all just working there. There's a couple of volunteers that are making sure that it runs smoothly. But these little legends know exactly what to do, how to cut the oranges. Like it's all
And
set
I don't
up.
Mean to sound funny, but they wake up at 4 o'clock because they probably have to.
Well, here's what I've, this is why, I mean, I was in tears. I had my sunglasses on. I looked like some Khloe Kardashian feeding kids because I was just crying. And we got to the classroom and then the kids, they unpack the porridge and they set it up. So each desk has got a cup of water, a cup of porridge, a slice of orange and a little napkin. And then off they go to assembly because that's part of school. So they go to assembly at like 7:30, do their assembly with their headmaster. And then they come back and they all sit down and just wait like they, you know. And the teacher says, morning, guys. Okay, you can all eat your porridge now. And everybody gets stuck in. There's a few kids who, I don't know, maybe they did have porridge. Maybe they had breakfast. So it's not really, like, it's fine. So they don't eat their porridge. But they, I mean, these kids, they do this every day. So they know. They put their porridge in the middle of the table if you're not going to eat it.
Yes.
And this is where it got rough. So out of a class of, like, 30 kids... Five of them didn't eat their porridge. They ate their orange and they ate their water and they were lacquer. And then the teacher said, who wants the extra porridge? And 25 kids put their hands up. The teacher explained to me that some of the kids, majority of the kids.
That's all they eat.
Have not eaten since Friday morning.
Over the weekend.
They haven't eaten a single thing since Friday morning. And that's for me is like, it's fucked. And I don't swear often, and my mother can, she can be angry, but when I was there, like, it's 2017, why the hell are we in a place where that is happening? And it was really just tough.
Yeah.
Just tough. And I walked away from that yesterday, and I just realized that we need to be doing more. If we can, we have to.
Definitely.
Like, I've been sitting since yesterday trying to figure out what I need to do to try and help these kids and South Africans and kids around the world. And it was just really tough to see. I was lucky enough to have a meal every day. My parents were able to look after me. The reality, and it hit me a hard truth yesterday, is that majority of South Africans don't.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's a hard truth.
It is hard. It is definitely hard.
So I'm racking my brain, and I'm putting it out there, and everybody needs to know that something's coming. I'm all about action. I never ever sit on my laurels. I never wait for other people to do stuff. I have a couple of ideas. I need to run them past the right people, but I believe that I might have the solution. When you think of the solution, I have the solution.
It is it.
So just give me a bit of time.
Okay.
I'm going to feed South Africa a lot.
A lot. A lot.
Everyone.
A lot.
I'm going to feed. Amazing. I'm going to educate. I've got a really good idea, and I just need to run it past the right people so that I know it'll work. I know it'll work. I just need the right people to jump on board.
Very rarely you come up with something that doesn't work.
Well, no. There's lots of things I do that don't work. Come on now.
Nonsense.
Come on now. So that was my time in Cape Town with the EPUP, and it was just interesting. Just really, 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 really interesting. Also, Abu Dhabi. I was in Abu Dhabi last week. That wasn't...
Flit in and out.
It was in and out. I get sent...
Have you been there before?
No. So I've never been to Abu Dhabi before. I got sent there with Etihad, who sent me over. And the basic idea, and it's travel.co.za, they send me over to experience these destinations and to show, just using my platform and whatever, to show how other people could experience those destinations too.
Yeah.
And then generally they put together a really cool package that I will promote, where you can also go to Abu Dhabi at a really good rate and you can sort of do those things. I was blown away. It's like my idea of what Abu Dhabi was or is or was about is not even the reality. It's like a big fat jaw place.
That's what it looked like, you and your flamingo. You were cheating on your South African flamingo.
It was really cool. We had a really, really good time. I got to go to the beaches. I got to go to the pools. The beaches were a bit warm, which was... And I'm not talking about the sun. I'm talking about the sea. The sea is like 35 degrees. The food was amazing. Incredible. The food was incredible. I got to go on a desert safari. I got to sleep under the stars. Like, it was an amazing.
So you experienced everything in a very short space of time.
3.5 days.
Wowzers.
Packed it in. We were doing like 8 things a day.
How was that that cabin?
The cabin in the sky.
Oh my hat.
The cabin in the sky.
That was like
It's the most expensive cabin in the world.
An apartment. That's
an apartment. And you know what the thing is? I put that video up of me in this like expensive apartment, what? And there were some people that said, how silly, like you can feed kids and you can do other. And the point is, and someone made a great relevant point. The people that are using these cabins generally have their own businesses and are looking after the economy anyway. So if they can afford it and they can spend it, do it.
Then they can.
Might as well. Yeah, it was.
And besides, people that travel around like that, they actually need rest.
Yeah, look, I don't think they need that type of rest. Business class will do that. It's like having your own private jet.
Well, then it's okay.
Like, for real.
How many of those are on a flight?
Only one.
So there's only one apartment.
Only one apartment on every flight. And yeah, it's got 3 cabins. It's like a bedroom, a bathroom.
Did you shower?
Yes.
Is there a shower?
No, there is a shower. There is a shower.
That's crazy.
But I'm not going to shower on a plane. I'm too scared.
Why?
Where's the safety belt in the shower?
Nonsense.
There's no safety
belt
in the shower.
You take the safety belt off anyway. I saw you in your pictures. You were jumping on the bed, taking photos, making food.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you see, your seatbelt was off.
I was naughty. Anyway, every week we get to bring you the top 5 trending good news stories of the week. And this week is no different. It's the only good news charter in South Africa. And Kerry's chosen the 5 stories. I have no idea what they are. So if it's bad, I'm sorry. Kerry, I mean, take it away. What do we have at number 5?
Hey, Chwani Meyer is selling his home.
No. Say that again. Say it again.
Shwani.
Where's that?
It's in Pretoria.
The 012.
Yeah.
Tswane.
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 Tswane. See, how do we say it? He's like, no, it's not. Did you hear how Kerry said it?
Shwani. Shwani. Shwani.
Yeah. How white is your white girl? Because that
he is shaking his head at me in such.
Yeah, people are like, it's not working. It's not working. All right, so in Pretoria.
Yes, in Pretoria, the Pretoria mayor is selling his home using the funds to build 40 homes for the needy. So let's try this. Solly Tsimanga.
Please just stop. Just say the mayor. Just say the mayor. Just stop.
The Pretoria mayor, is selling. Guys, you are terrible,
If I could, I wish that I had a live cam because the production lounge is erupting.
They are literally rolling on the floor.
Kerry, your whiteness is too white, and he's sorry, but so the mayor.
Yeah. Just he's selling his 5 million mayoral home and is using the funds to build 40 new homes for the homeless.
No, we're not laughing at the story. We're laughing at Kerry.
Guys.
I actually can't. I need a break. What the hell,
and
man?
And breathe, everybody.
Okay, so the mayor.
Well, that's really amazing.
No,
okay.
What's really amazing is that you do not know how to pronounce stuff at all. The mayor is selling his property, and he's going to use the funds from his property.
Thing.
No, it is. Now I'm making it serious because I don't want you to butcher any more names. So he's using the money to fund building 40 homes. 40 homes.
That's huge. From his one home.
He should be our next president. Like, I'd vote for him.
Yeah.
I would vote for change, vote for good, vote for right. Yeah, that's cool, man.
Because if someone is in a position to do it, and that is something that they do willingly, freely, then what could they do with massive budgets?
But that's what we continuously say. If you have, then give and do and make stuff happen. Like, that's our job as human beings. We're going to put that story up online so that you can follow it and you can see what's going on. There's some stats there and things, and you can follow that whole vibe. What do we have at number four?
Am I going to butcher it again? Young student inspires the nation with a simple yet powerful act of kindness.
His name's Nati.
Yes, Nati.
There we go.
There we go.
So he's from Cairns, which is a King Edward school.
Yeah.
Which some say, I mean, I didn't go to that school, but some say it's like the best school in South Africa.
It is.
It really just does produce amazing humans.
It's true.
And
my dad went there. My brother went there.
Did they?
Yeah.
So it's close to your home as well. Not like your home, but close to your heart.
Yep.
Okay. And do you want to tell us a little about what the kid did?
So he stopped to help a man in need while everyone else walked by. One person was inspired by his act of kindness and wrote a letter which has since gone viral and is inspiring everyone that reads it.
Yeah, she was in her house and she'd seen someone collapse on her pavement. And she was so scared to go in. She was like, to go outside and help because it's Joburg. And she was scared that she was going to get robbed or something. And she watched people walk past and this man that was laying on the side of the road. She watched a police car come and check on him and drive past.
Yeah,
and
she said literally lifeless body.
And all the adults in the world, all the people that were adulting, were just not caring. They weren't helping. And this kid in his school uniform stopped.
And
he was like, let me help.
Yep.
Let me one human be human to another. And then she came out of her house because she was like, it's safe. And then they waited for an ambulance. There was a whole bunch of joy. And eventually he got back on his feet and this kid got him back to his house with the help of her husband or whatever. They drove him. And she wrote the letter to the school, to the headmasters, to just say, you need to acknowledge him.
Yeah.
Because what a shining example of a human.
Especially if you see the things that happen and how we are desensitized to things. Most people did walk by, but he didn't. And that gives us hope that the millennials are on the right track.
Oh, look at you sticking up for the millennials.
Mm-hmm.
Hey.
We have to.
Nice. We're going to put that story up online so you can see his picture, get to know him, know his story, and maybe just give him a big shout out because that's what we need to do is appreciate people that are doing good. What do we have at number three?
Meet Megan, a South African sharing an important message. Megan Hunter was standing in a queue when she was ridiculed for wearing a mask that was actually saving her life. She wrote a post with a message we should all read.
So Megan has got MG. And it affects your immune system. It's really bad. It's, she's Sure, man. I have a friend that has MG, and it's a really tough thing, to watch. And she had to go to the chemist to go pick up her tablets and her medicine and all of that. And she's got this, it's almost like a surgical mask.
Yes, but it's got a filter.
And it's colorful.
Yes.
It's like hers.
Yeah.
She's only 29 years old, and she went off to her chemist to go and get her medicine, and a kid mocked her, and the kid like sort of pulled her mom and laughed at this woman wearing this mask, and the mom laughed.
Mm.
Imagine standing in a queue and that was happening around you.
No. No.
Like publicly ridicule someone.
Especially in a pharmacy, because
you know she's there.
Yeah, you're obviously there for a reason, so... Don't.
So Megan, instead of approaching them and going, yo, nasty people, this is actually why I'm here, and this is why I'm wearing a mask, she decided...
Educated them.
She educated a lot of people. She wrote a post on her blog, which went pretty much viral. People were sharing it. She got put up all over social media, and we caught onto the story, and we've posted it as well, because I think it's just fair to say that people should be kinder.
Definitely.
Don't be cuck. Just be lacquer.
My little one asked me the other day, because she also saw someone wearing a mask. You know, like a surgical mask.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously there were heavy winds and all sorts that particular period of time. So you have to tell them. It's not a case of, you just have to educate them.
Educate the kids,
young
you're saying.
Age, like, yes,
educate
kids. Yeah. Don't pick on people. Don't bully people. It's terrible.
That is like a form of bullying, right?
Yeah, it is.
The reason we put that story up is because now you're a little bit more educated.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a little reminder to be kinder is sort of how we go. And that mask is pretty cool, you know.
I think it is cool. Everybody's got a struggle. You don't know what it is.
Correct.
Be kind.
We're going to put that story up online so that you can see it as well. What do we have at number two?
South African restaurant named one of the top 10 in the world.
How cool.
I know. The very best of travel, chosen by millions of travelers, has just selected a South African restaurant as one of the best globally. Now, I did choose this because it's amazing and it's so South African, but I never knew this place had existed.
How's that? Never knew it existed.
I didn't.
And yet it's top 10 in the world.
In Constantia, in Cape Town.
Yeah.
How do you say the name?
It's
La Colombe.
La Colombe.
La Colombe.
La Colombe.
It's beautiful.
La Colombe. It's French.
And yeah, and the pictures are amazing. It's really, really incredible. I didn't know it existed, and I live in South Africa.
So yeah, they're quite a. I mean, it's a fine dining restaurant.
Yes.
If you see the food that they make, it's definitely fine dining. Really beautiful. Really delicious.
Yeah.
Good flavors. It is quite spectacular. And I might be going there on Wednesday.
Amazing. It's definitely a destination restaurant.
Yeah, totes.
But also, it should encourage people to get to know our country better. We're always on a mission to travel elsewhere, but start here first.
Start at home. What a good way of looking at it, Kay.
I know. You start here first, travel here first, and then go overseas.
100%. Yep. I'm going to go to La Colombe.
Tell us next week.
It's in Constantia. Mm. I'll let you know how it goes. We'll also put the story up online so you can see the pictures and get the address and all of those good things. What do we have at number one?
Another South Africanism. Apparently, South Africans have the sexiest accents in the world.
Okay. Get into the story, and then I want to get into the social media side of things, because there was a bit of a debate here.
I know.
Okay, so tell us what's going on.
An Irish website has ranked 50 countries according to the sexiness of their accents, and South Africa was ranked at number one. We smark it. Okay, so there was a whole lot that happened, and they have, I mean, the Irish website Loving posted, okay, they even put in...
a couple of different phrases.
Exactly.
So here's what I want to say. We get this title just by some random media lifestyle piece that have chosen South African's accents as the sexiest or the best or whatever that is. And we put the story up online, and all of a sudden, South Africans are like, sis, how can that be? That's terrible. Like, our accent is not great. Like, tearing ourselves apart.
Mm.
Tearing ourselves apart. And my problem with that is, yes, to us, another accent might sound beautiful, like absolutely beautiful. But to others, our accent sounds pretty cool. And it's the weirdest thing how, as South Africans, we can just put ourselves down. It's like we enjoy it.
And also, I mean, there are a lot of foreigners that ask where you come from. it's the strangest thing, because even though we're from South Africa, we have so many different accents here.
Yeah, but still, like, if as a South African, if you were in the middle, pick a country, in the middle of?
Portugal.
And another South African spoke to you, whatever, whether they were from Cape Town or Durban or Bloem, you'd pick it up immediately.
Yes.
Because we do have one accent.
We do.
We have many dialects of that accent, and it's different for where you are. Even in Johannesburg, if you're from the south or the north or the east or the west or central, there's different ways of speaking. Mm. But it's kind of one accent that you can pick up. I would say that a French person has got the same thing, where it's different tones, different pitches, different. A French person would be able to tell you if someone was from north or south or whatever. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
What I need to push is, why the hell are we not celebrating?
I think it's amazing.
Like,
we should be proud.
It was bizarre on social media. I was watching it and I just thought to myself, yissy, man. It's not like.
I like our accents.
And so do I. So do I. We're going to put all those stories up online so that you can read them and sort of figure out and read and go to that website to see all the good stuff and hear about the accents and all these good things that we do. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. Yo, you're back on the good stuff on Cliff Central, and I've got a full house. I don't know why this happens. I'm sure Kerry does something. She plans something. She puts the stuff together. We get to speak to inspirational South Africans every week, which is the best part of the show, is we get to speak to people that are doing amazing things, and they tend to be women.
The thorn amongst the roses.
The rose amongst the thorns.
No.
How many thorns does one stem of, like a rose? How many thorns are there? It's one rose.
Yeah.
And it's got like 20 thorns on it.
Yeah, but you're the thorn. We're the roses.
I feel like that. Listen, if it's the other way around, let me know. We've got Lauren Siegel, who's, is it Siegel?
Yes, that's right.
That's it. I'm going to put all your microphones on. You're a 4-time cancer survivor.
Indeed.
And you've also written a book called Cancer, A Love Story.
That's right.
So we've got you in studio. We're going to be speaking about that in a couple of seconds. And you're with Louise and Colleen from the Breast Health Foundation, because it's Breast Health Awareness Month. Or as Kerry started the show and said, it's Boob Month.
Yeah. It's Boob Month.
It's Boob Month. Definitely. It's Boob Month. You've been on the show before.
Yes, I have.
You've been on the show before. Yeah. You guys are like regulars here. I hope you parked in the regular parking and just picked up your coffee cups on the way in.
We did, thank you.
It's great to have you in studio, and it's you know, not the greatest circumstances to be here, because you've both survivors and you've gone through a hectic time, but you hear about awareness and education and getting other people to understand why it matters. So let's start there. Why does it matter?
Do you want to start?
Okay, I'll go. Breast cancer, very scary thing. Many years ago, it was always considered as a death sentence. But with medicine and technology and skills and doctors, it isn't a death sentence anymore. I'm a 13-year survivor of breast cancer. Lauren's a 2-time breast cancer survivor for various years on both cancers, etc. And there is life after breast cancer. It is not a death sentence anymore. It's about education, awareness, know your boobs, as it's Boob Month, check for changes and pick up those changes so you can be screened.
If we take your story and just recap on it, I mean, you were diagnosed many years ago. How did you find out? What was that defining moment?
Shower on a Sunday morning, found something in my breast. Thought, oh, okay.
Were you a checker? Did you spend like one day a week or one day in the shower? Did you normally check, or was this just out of the blue?
Out of the blue, never checked. Mom never taught me how to, didn't speak about those things. And I found a lump by accident, 34 years old, and didn't take much notice of it because breast cancer is for old women. You know, at 60, 70, you get breast cancer. And a couple of weeks later, it was still there. Went and had it checked out. And, wow, won the cancer lotto. had quite an aggressive little tumor in my breast and went through all the treatment. And 13 years later, I'm here to tell the story.
Which I think is the beautiful part of that, is that you are here to tell the story and you're able to educate other women and men. Because and it's men, not yep. just a female. Breast cancer is not just for women, it's also men. Mm. I am lucky enough to work with various organizations that they teach me all about cancer and just knowing. And that's what it's about, right?
It's about knowing. As far as men with breast cancer go, there is a increased awareness. We're finding more men coming through with lumps in their breast that are being diagnosed with breast cancer. The treatment's exactly the same. They just don't get very expensive boob jobs afterwards. But they are coming through. It's not. There isn't such a stigma attached to men with breast cancer anymore. And the guys are starting to talk about it, and the awareness is out there. And they're starting to check and come in for treatment.
And you're part of the Breast Health Foundation. What is the Breast Health Foundation?
It's a not-for-profit company. Our vision and mission is education, awareness around breast health, breast cancer, informative and emotional support to anyone affected by breast cancer. And we are very actively involved in access to treatment in South Africa. Our greater population don't have medical aid. And there are great public facilities available in the country, but we'd like to see more access to treatment throughout the country in all 11 provinces with access to chemo, radiation, surgery, etc., so that all women can have access.
And I guess a huge part of that is education. Education. If you're underprivileged, you might not have a TV to see an ad about it or watch a movie where it triggers something. The education in an underprivileged sector should be a huge drive as well, I would suppose.
95% of the work we do is focused at that community. We do a lot of local radio stations, regional radio stations in the relevant language in the area. The challenge is you can't always educate everybody, because if there isn't a treatment center that they can access, they sit with a problem with nowhere to go. So we're working on that to have more access in the country for patients.
And Lauren, you, four-time survivor, you've written a book. It's called Cancer, A Love Story. You know, the title is gripping. Is it about your experience? Is that sort of what you put down to paper?
Yes, and let me go back to your first question of why we're here, why we're telling our stories. I think Louise touched on it, but I have been quite amazed in writing this book and going to various places and talking about my story. The levels of shame and the silence that still surrounds breast cancer.
No, man.
Even though we are down the road, many years down the road, and great advances have been made, people are still treating this as a disease of shame. And
that is, you saying that is bizarre to me.
It is bizarre to me, but I was with young people the other day at the university, at UJ, in a discussion about this, and they, one person after the other, got up and said in their family, they have had their mother with breast cancer, no one spoke to them about them, no one told them about it told them what was going on. And so I have been quite amazed at the response to me getting up and telling my story. It's been absolutely inspiring to me. People tell me it's inspired them, but I am inspired by the conversations it's opening up. And I didn't anticipate the extent to which this would still be an issue.
Was it difficult reliving those treatments and reliving that part of your life when you have to put it down onto paper? I'm guessing that...
No. It wasn't, because what it did is it clarified so much for me. The writing process was enormously helpful in allowing me to understand what I went through. And because it's such a difficult process and the treatment is so difficult, I say this again and again, to discuss the undiscussable feelings, the difficult feelings, the hard feelings, is much easier than keeping them inside. So being vulnerable, asking for help, all the things we think are so difficult actually make this journey so much easier. Mm. It's the silence and the not talking that for me presents the problems.
So you've launched the book, and you're now, like you said, you're speaking at the university. Is that part of your process as well? You're going out there educating, awareness, getting people to speak about this unspeakable thing.
Absolutely. And I'm very lucky because I'm doing so in conjunction with the Breast Health Foundation. Mm. And that roots my book in a much bigger program. So it's not about an individual going and promoting a story. I feel like I'm part of a campaign and have such amazing colleagues around me who've been supporting me. And the proceeds from the book that are sold to corporates go to the Breast Health Foundation. So there's also a fundraising element That's to this, incredible. Which is amazing. And it's been quite a journey. I'm looking at Colleen and Louise on my left and right and thinking I'm very lucky.
So Colleen, this is an important month because it is Breast Awareness Month and it's knowing about it. But it's actually not about a month. It's every day. Like the month is great for raising awareness and for getting people to talk about it. But this problem, this cancer that we have, it's an everyday problem.
Definitely. I mean, one of our survivors mentioned last week, breast cancer survivor awareness is not just October for somebody who's experienced it firsthand. So that is for us the whole year, and we urge corporates to educate their employees and care about employee wellness throughout the year, because breast cancer is not going to just choose October to affect you. So October is our busiest month, and we have our most events and our awareness and stuff then, but we really do try and at the utmost to raise awareness throughout the year and do different initiatives and different events and different programs throughout the year to make it a priority.
Are you finding that people are speaking about it more? Like,
I definitely do see it. I see an influx with the youth. We have a lot of new youth coming into our various clinics. A lot of the moms and the googles and stuff that are getting diagnosed say, you know, my daughter spotted this or my niece spotted sure. something and heard about it at varsity or heard about it at school and urged me to come and seek treatment. So those stigmas and those myths are being debunked. I think various cultures are becoming more aware and are more open about it. I just think there is a lot more awareness about knowing your normal and that you should be breast friends with your own boobs. And men are becoming more aware about it. Sometimes we teach the husbands and partners on how to do the breast exams for their partners and wives, and they thoroughly enjoy it. we do see that the work is paying off, and there is definitely a change happening. There is an undercurrent in South Africa. We're pleased at the movement.
So the movement, it's October. We're listening to the radio right now, and we're hearing about this. What is the call to action? What do you want people to do? Should they visit the website to get more information? Should they go to the bathroom and just do a quick check? Like, what should we do right now?
I think as a first priority, I urge everybody to empower themselves. No matter your age, no matter your gender, no matter your cultural background, no matter your financial status, know your normal. Check your breasts at least once a month. Know what your normal is. And if there is anything abnormal, then go get it checked out. You can go seek help at the Groteski Hospital in Cape Town, or you can go to the Helen Joseph Breast Care Clinic on a Tuesday morning, 7:30. New patients can come in. You don't need a referral from any other clinic or from any other doctor. You can walk in and you will be seen that day. We do not close the clinic until every patient has been seen every Tuesday.
That's incredible.
And then you can go there whether you've got medical aid or not. And then there are obviously various breast clinics around the country. Mill Park Breast Clinic is the one. They can go visit us on mybreast.org.za for more information and more support. They can reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook if they want to have care or comfort, counseling. And the Breast Health Foundation, at the end of the day, takes your hand from the start right through survivorship, and we carry you and navigate you and support you wherever it need be.
So I think what I'm getting, there's two things I want to say. First of all, you've already created a bit of a change, because the Huddle Up girls, which are on next, were both just feeling their boobs up. They were like, are we okay? What is my normal? Happened. And even in that side, girls are all like, let's just do a quick check. Yeah. So good job on that. Yeah. And the second thing that I think I got from that, and if I can give that to the listeners, is don't be scared. Mm-mm. There's no reason to be afraid. If you find a lump, if something's not right, if your normal's not your normal, what you've just said is there's a support system, and you guys will be there from start to finish, and you'll help these ladies and even men with a great support system. And I think I need to thank the Breast Health Foundation for
Can
that.
I add a third thing for the listeners?
Please, go.
Quickly.
Go.
I want to say that so many people know people who have breast cancer and other cancers, and don't be afraid to talk about it, because I think that the conversations we're starting to have are very important for people to get over the fear. So it's going to the clinic and addressing it, but also finding the language to actually address cancer.
Amazing. The book, where do I get it?
The book is available at Exclusives and other independent outlets. It's at the airport, I believe. Someone sent a picture. It's out there. So and also available, I think, on the Breast Health Foundation website. There is a link where it's possible to order the book.
It's called Cancer, A Love Story by Lauren Siegel. And I think if you can give that to someone maybe who's gone through this or is going through this, or just someone who might need an inspirational story, because I think your story is inspirational.
As well.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. 100%. You wanted to mention Facebook. I'm sure you said something about Facebook.
Yes, you can follow us on the Breast Health Foundation on Facebook. There's a lot of activities that are coming up, walks, support stories, survivorship stories. The book is available there. So if you need a bit of inspiration, follow us on Facebook on the Breast Health Foundation.
It's that easy. We're going to put up all of the links so that you can get a hold of the events and sort of see what this amazing foundation is doing. Also, we'll put a link to the book so that you can get a bit inspired. And most of all, go and check your normal right now. I think it's super important. And if you have someone who's a little bit older who might not be aware, tell them to check their normal. Just spread the awareness, spread the education, not just in October, but every day. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. Thank you for being with me. That's it.
Thank you.
That's it. Kerry, you just did a check, so we all know that we're good.
Yep.
We're all good. The girls from Huddle Up have joined us, and they're a bit weird today.
Yeah.
They both sat down. I'm going to try paint a picture here. They both sat down, and they've got these surgical gloves on their right hand, and yes, Kirst is like trying to put her headphones on with just one hand, just her left hand. Paige is sitting at the desk just with her left hand on the table. She's got her phone that's keeping her little bookie open. And the right hand is just not featuring, except that it's blue.
And they're both fumbling.
They're a mess. They're a mess. I'm going to take a picture of Paige because she managed to get the headphones on. Kirst hasn't.
No, mine aren't working.
Oh.
That's why I can't hear.
Different story. Paige has got her headphones on, but her hair looks like she did it in a wind tower.
I'm just trying to put on these headphones here, but it's quite impossible not using my hands that I usually use.
No, well, you know,
let's
unpack. Okay. Why are we only using one hand?
Okay, well, do you want to start, actually?
Curse.
If you can. You
no, wait, you go. I'm trying to save myself.
The month of October is not only Breast Health Awareness Month, but it's also the International Stroke Awareness Month. And we'll be on the 29th of October, which is a Sunday.
If you just hear banging and all sorts of stuff, it's just, Kirst doesn't even know what's going on.
This is difficult.
Yeah, only left-hand, eh?
Yeah.
And in support of International Stroke Awareness Day, we on the 30th, which will be a Monday, they'll be hosting a pilot for the International Stroke Awareness Day where the boys at King Edward School.
We were speaking about CARES earlier on.
Yeah.
All the boys have donned a blue glove in support of the Glove Initiative, which is to just raise awareness of after one has suffered a stroke, they lose one side of the use of one side of their body. So the glove is to just put it on your dominant hand and be able to, at least for 1 hour, experience the frustration of what it is after you've had a stroke.
So just try and tie your shoelace, make a cup of tea, brush your hair, brush your teeth. Simple things like that. Open the car door. Drive. You know, it's the little things in life that we actually don't think about when you only have one hand to use. So that's why I'm banging things around here, because it's actually really difficult. It's you know, typing on your phone. You know, if you need to make a phone call, writing a note, typing on the computer. It's there's lots of things.
It's a real struggle.
Yeah.
So how we met the Stroke Survivors Foundation was we were doing work with Adams and Adams, who for free went and helped the Stroke Survivors Foundation protect the intellectual property of the Blue Initiative, of the Blue Glove Initiative. And from next year, we're going to try and see how many corporate sponsors and schools we can get on board, where everyone can at least purchase a glove and all proceeds will go to the foundation, where the foundation is also there to educate and raise awareness for stroke survivors. Because in South Africa, we actually don't have much support or many units in hospitals that help people who've suffered from strokes.
So the one thing I know about strokes, and it's something that I think I was taught in school, is it's called FAST.
Be fast.
Yes, they've added two new letters.
Okay, so I knew FAST as face, arm, speech, and time.
Correct.
Okay, and what that means is if someone's face looks uneven, and you ask them to smile, and if you're not, then you might be suffering a stroke.
Yes.
If the one arm drifts down, and I'm guessing that's where the glove sort of comes in as well, if you can't raise both your arms, then you might be suffering a stroke. And if your speech sounds a little bit slurred or strange, which is the speech comes in, and then time, every second counts because it's crucial. So what does the B stand for in BFAST?
So the B and the E, which are the two new letters that they've added, the B is for balance. So if you lose your balance, and the E is for eyes. So your eyesight will become a bit blurry. So my dad actually suffered his third stroke about a month ago.
Oh my God.
What happened was he came home and my mom noticed immediately the left side of his eye was drooping, his arm was crunched up and he was leaning over.
And did he notice?
He did, but he was in denial.
Okay.
And that's one of the things some stroke patients or survivors go through is denial. They don't want to accept the fact that this is something that they're currently going through. So yeah, so she, you know, as T for time, times of the essence, she was able to get him to the hospital in time.
Sure.
Because there's a 90-minute window period that you can stop the clot, if there is a clot, from bursting. So time is a massive thing. If you can identify that someone is potentially having a stroke, you've got to get them to an emergency room ASAP because the staff there have a process that they follow through in order to prevent any damage from happening.
Man, that's
hectic. That is very scary.
Yeah, and what through like the work that Kirst and I have done as well is what we've realized is that stroke does not discriminate against age, gender, race. We even met a boy the other day as young as 7 who had suffered a stroke.
Yeah.
It really, there's, you know, different case studies of people being also very healthy at 30. I think it's something that we all need to have a lot more information and awareness over because it truly can happen to anyone at any time.
There's a story of a pregnant girl. She suffered a stroke. So yeah, as Paige said, it can happen to anyone. It's not a specific target.
Okay, so you're not allowed to use your right hand anymore for the rest of the day.
Yes,
you're just going to be without your right hand.
Yep.
What else do you have going on? I know you guys are always juggling, and today we're juggling with one hand.
Yeah,
but you're here too.
You're always juggling a bucket load. So what's happening?
Well, there's actually been, it's been quite a nice amount of things that have been going on. We recently were at Hawk Academy, which we're introduced to by our client Abland. And part of Abland and the Abcon Group Foundation is to upgrade the school and to also identify any needs that the students are needing because they are from a very underprivileged area in Primrose and Germiston. And there's about 800 students that are at the school that's been only going for a year. So what we did with the MENA Cup was identify that there are students missing school because there's no access or it's not enough money to be purchasing female products, hygiene products, pads and tampons. And then also most of that is ending up in landfills. So what we introduced was the MENA Cup, which is a silicone cup that these girls at grade 7 and 6 level.
Okay, my question to you guys is, have you approached government yet? Like government should be funding this for the women of South Africa. So I hope you're getting into your ward councillors or your mayor. I hope you're fighting.
Yes, you are fighting. Speaking to a few departments as well in the government. Yeah,
MENA have already given out over 21,000 MENA cups, and they've visited over 102 schools so far. So I know that they are constantly visiting new schools and trying to create their awareness.
Five years.
I'm gonna put this task to you two. This is your job.
Another year.
We need to, like, if you go to a public bathroom and there's condoms in the men's bathroom, I don't know if there is in the ladies,
there should be
public MENAs there.
Exactly.
100%. It should be available everywhere.
And one's a choice and you don't get taxed on it for free, and the other one is a biological that
something
happens,
we can't
it's normal,
avoid.
And the government aren't doing anything to support it. Or educate at young girls. I mean, some girls are putting twigs and leaves or missing school because they believe that they're bleeding from the inside.
Yeah.
It becomes...
So what you can do to the public is you can purchase one and one will be donated. So it's about 399 Rand. And if you think about it, that's a once-off cost that you're paying for 5 years compared to paying for a box of tampons every single month.
They are so expensive.
Yeah, and if you're lucky enough to purchase all the other products because you can afford to, well, you know, that's great. But those that can't, at least there is a solution. It's a safe and cost-effective solution that we can provide to girls in schools so that they can continue to attend class.
Yeah.
It's important. 25% of schools a lot throughout the year. To miss that.
It's a scary stat. And I just, like, that's my thing. I put it to you. You need to get hold of your ward counselors. You need to be speaking
Drill it down.
Drill it down. Go to the top. This is a huge problem
in the world.
But let's try fix it in South Africa.
And I must just say, we would also like to say thank you to Chapter 2, which is also a non-profit organization. It was their initiative that they partnered with the Abcon Group Foundation in order to ensure that the grade 6 and grade 7 girls of Hawke Academy receive these Mina cups.
Wow.
And if the school has taken to it really nicely, we will look at doing the grade 4s and grade 5s. So I'm really excited for that.
Man, I feel like we've traveled such a beautiful long road together.
Yeah, it's been
a short 3 years. But you two are really doing incredible things for South Africa. And it's, you know, you put your heart and soul into everything you do. And it's amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So thank you for the platform. It always definitely helps 100%. We get people phoning us afterwards saying, how's it? We heard you on the radio. Want to get involved? We've got books. We've got clothing. We've got shoes. We're doing another Christmas function as well.
Yeah.
So people getting involved.
Always exciting.
Mm. Incredible, incredible, incredible. What else do we have? We've got like 2 minutes. If you can jam-pack anything else in.
Okay, on your marks, go. So we did another renovation of a vegetable garden and food tunnel at Reshamila Primary School in Dipslut. You went there.
I went there.
Yes. That's where we did that crazy Christmas party of 500 kids.
Yes.
Yeah, so when you go there during break time, I mean, we've been there for the past 6 months. We pop in here and there. See the little kids, and it's amazing to see how so many students want to be champions of the garden and get involved. But we, on Saturday, we hosted a training session where the kids, the students, and we brought a whole bunch of volunteers. Miss Commonwealth Earth was there as well.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah, just getting everyone to start getting involved, working with the kids, starting the conversation.
So yesterday I was in Cape Town, and I went to a name that they gave it, and I can't remember. It was a food garden they created in the school. It was to teach kids about the food. It's obviously what you guys were, but it also feeds the school as well. So they use the produce for that.
Yes, yeah.
And it was the most beautiful food garden I've ever seen. And the kids came and they were helping us dig and plant and harvest, and then they had to weigh the spinach. And in one harvesting, I think we did 2 kilograms of spinach.
That's stunning.
That's amazing.
It was amazing. Awesome. It was very cool.
So all the kids then ate from the produce, or do some of them maybe be sold off into the community?
No, so at the moment, because of the drought, they're not doing the selling into the community. But it all goes to the kitchen, to the communal kitchen, and the chefs cook the food for the underprivileged kids. It's an amazing concept. It is an amazing concept.
Well, well done. Brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, even
the kids get so excited, and that's what we love so much about it, is being able to involve the kids and to ensure that they take to it, you know?
But if you compare to what it looked like before, it was literally like it was just a thorn bush.
Yeah, just dry grass.
All right. So if people want to get involved with Huddle Up, where do they go?
Woo. Okay. So Facebook, we are Huddle Up. And then Instagram, HuddleUp_ZA. And then I'm Paige, PAIGE, at HuddleUp.co.za.
And I'm Kirst at HuddleUp.co.za. And our website is www.HuddleUp.co.za.
As always, we're going to put that up on the website. Can't wait to catch up with you again next month.
Yes.
Thank you. Don't use your right hand. You're not allowed to. That's the good stuff for this week.
Loved it.
Of course you did. I'm going to leave you with this. Always believe in yourself and always stretch yourself beyond your limits. Your life is worth a lot more than you think because you are capable of accomplishing more than you'll ever know. You have more potential than you think, but you will never know your full potential unless you keep challenging yourself and pushing yourself beyond your own self-imposed limits. Live boldly, push yourself, and don't settle. That's the good stuff for this week. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next week, Tuesday, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on cliffcentral.com.
Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.